Thank you. I'm sure you've heard this before, but could you imagine if somebody had never previously seen an elephant or heard of an elephant, and they were blindfolded and introduced to an elephant? Three blindfolded people might get a very different impression. One that at the front might touch the trunk and think it feels like a very fat snake. One might be at the rear end and touch the tail and think that an elephant is a bit like a piece of rope with a frayed end. And one might be introduced to the leg and think that an elephant is like a tree trunk. And you know, even if afterwards they were allowed to share the stories with one another and they put them all together to try and get a bigger picture of what an elephant was, it would still be a very inaccurate, very limited picture. They wouldn't be able to put together a picture of what a whole elephant looks like. And I think it's like that with God. You know, we have some level of insight into who God is and what God is. But if we were to take the cumulative wisdom of all of the people who have spent time thinking about this in the pews of our churches to the theological halls and seminaries of the world, if we were to take all of the best wisdom that we could gather together, all of the best knowledge, all of the best philosophy and theology of all of the best thinkers, and put them all together, we would still fall short of a picture of the fullness of the glory of God. Jesus' disciples were given a closer insight than most other people. You know, there were different groups of people who had different levels of insight into who Jesus was when he walked amongst them as a man. Some were on the periphery of the crowds that followed him. Some made more of an effort to follow him more often and listen to him more frequently. Then there was the inner group of 12 that he'd set apart for some special training and special insight. And even within that, there were some who seemed to have got a little bit closer. James, John, and Peter. Jesus taking them into his very intimate confidence. They would have had some insight into who this was that they had left their previous careers behind, left their families behind to follow. They've got closer than anyone else to know him better than anyone else. They'd lived with him, they'd traveled with him, they'd eaten with him, they'd gone hungry with him, they'd been exhausted with him, they'd laughed with him, and they'd cried with him. They've heard all his public teaching from the very beginning. They've been with him in quieter moments when he went deeper with his disciples. And they probably each also had individual private moments with Jesus that have never been recorded for us, never written down. They've watched him heal the sick. They've witnessed him feeding 5,000. They've had their lives saved by him when he calmed the storm. And each step of the way, their knowledge has grown just a little bit at a time. Their understanding of who he was, what he had come to accomplish, who had sent him, and why he had come. Yet still, like those blindfolded folk introduced to an elephant, still they did not understand. In the previous chapter in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, we have the record of a moment, a kind of light bulb moment in the life of the disciples, a realization amongst the apostles that this Jesus was no mere man, not even a very good man, not even just a very spiritual man who could somehow tap into the spiritual power and authority of God. The realization was kind of like this was the man, the one who God had promised from of old, the one that the Jewish faith had been waiting for centuries, the anointed one, the Messiah. Who do people say I am? Said Jesus. Some say Elijah, they replied. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, said Jesus, you, who do you say I am? And Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the key to Peter's knowledge of who Jesus was not his ability to understand intellectually. It wasn't his ability to read books, read other people's opinions and come to a conclusion. It wasn't his ability to get a university degree or a doctor of ministry degree. It wasn't his ability to do any of these. Blessed are you, Simon Peter, said Jesus, because this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father who is in heaven. God himself is the only one who can make himself fully known. It was as if the eyes of the blind had been opened and now they could see. And yet, even so, I wonder if they were maybe just standing a little bit too close to see the full picture. Standing too close to really grasp what was God's plan in this person, this Son of God, the Son of the living God, who was standing before them. You know, even after that, Peter mistakenly thought he needed to defend Jesus by pulling out a sword. Can you imagine? Why would anybody think that the Son of God needs the protection of a fisherman from Galilee? And here again, in this Mount of Transfiguration, in this experience in chapter 17, it's another moment that is given to these three disciples, even from amongst the rest of the disciples. These three in particular are given this moment of revelation of the Father in heaven, from the Father in heaven, of who Jesus is. You see him appearing with Elijah, the first great prophet, with Moses, the giver of the law. These are symbolic of the very heart and foundation of the whole of the Jewish faith, the law and the prophets. And amongst them, Jesus is the one who is glorified. And after them, Jesus is the one who remains. And still they're standing way too close to see what is really happening here. And Jesus knew this. Jesus told them, take a step back. Don't jump to conclusions. He said, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man is raised from the dead, because only then will you fully know. Only then will you have the completed picture. You will see with eyes that have been fully opened the fullness of God that lived for a while on earth, this man, Jesus. You may not understand in the intellectual sense. I mean, let's be honest. How many of us, in an intellectual sense, understand the elephant? How much harder to understand God? You may not understand in the intellectual sense, but you will see, and in seeing, you will know that this Jesus, who was crucified, who was buried, who is raised from the dead, truly is the Son of God. Jesus said in a reply to a question from Philip in John's Gospel, chapter 14, he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father.
the fullest of revelations of God the Father in and through the Son, Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were blind to this truth. Despite their sincere dedication to their religion, despite their obvious devotion to God, despite their whole lifestyle being utterly committed to the ways of God, these were the religious zealots of their day who would compromise nothing for their religion. But just moments before the opening of Peter's eyes in chapter 16, you go back to chapter 14, Jesus called the Pharisees blind guides. Can the blind lead the blind? He said. Will they not both fall into the pit? And again, it continues. In chapter 23, in verse 16, he refers to them as blind guides. In verse 17, blind fools. And in verse 19, as blind men. Jesus defined his mission in life to give sight to the blind. As a symbol of this, he did, of course, perform the physical miracle of restoring sight to the blind. In fact, if you look in Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, when the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and said, John's in prison, he can't come to you himself, but can we go back to him? What are we going to tell him about you that might convince him that you really are the one? And the first thing that Jesus said in verse 5 was, he gives sight to the blind. But his real aim was spiritual sight. His real aim, his real purpose was to reveal God to those who had previously been blind to him. He says in John's Gospel, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see." The flip side of that, spoken to the Pharisees, was that some who claimed to have good vision would be shown to be blind after all. The heart of God's self-revelation is given to us in the story of the healing of a blind man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. The blind man said to Jesus, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Who would see Jesus? Those who want to see, just ask. Who would see the fullness of God the Father revealed in Jesus? Those who want to see, just ask. There are none so blind as those who don't want to see. Amen. May God reveal himself to us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And may we have the faith to see.